Welcome to Cats and Rats Podcast, covering your Florida Panthers.
Hey everyone, welcome to our Cats and Rats Podcast, episode number 10. I'm your host, Kirby Lupel, alongside my co-host, Nick Levine and Cody Stevens. Before I throw to my co-host here, we finally did it. We slayed the demons. We beat Big Brother. All the analogies in the world that you have out there right now, the Florida Panthers defeat the Tampa Bay Lightning in 5 games. And before I go over to Nick and Cody here, I want to share a tweet that I put out there. So I know some of our podcast listeners are not on the Twitter X platform, but I just wanted to share and encompass my emotions of being a lifelong Panther fan and finally getting over this mental hurdle, this hump of beating the Tampa Bay Lightning in a playoff series the third time. We have now faced them in the playoffs many years, not ever facing them, which I kind of indicated in my tweet here, but here it is. The Florida Panthers, I've been an OG fan since 1993. Too many years of darkness and despair. Through those lean years, the thought of being the Tampa Bay Lightning in a playoff series never even crossed my mind because we were never a good team. When they were a good team, we weren't in the playoffs. And when, you know, they weren't in the playoffs, sometimes we might have been in the playoffs by happenstance or weren't in the playoffs the same time as well. So again, it just, our past never kind of crossed. So it never kind of crossed my mind. And always hearing those, you know, little brother analogies and Tampa Bay Lightning having a good program through the years as well. And I even harken back to when I was in the building with Martin St. Louis, 2004 Stanley Cup final, game 6, double overtime goal against the Calgary Flames. Martin St. Louis walked by me and kind of nodded at me. Didn't have a Panther hat on or anything like that. But yeah, those moments just kind of hurt, thinking how far away we were from those moments of being in a Stanley Cup final like the Lightning were in 2004. And I said, you know, it finally happened, a playoff matchup with the Lightning in 2021. That game one, I'll always remember. And I know Cody and Nick, you were talking to me off the air for that unmatched playoff physicality. Also followed by that sheer heartbreak of Braden Point kind of breaking our hearts in that game one. But it was a great series, even though we came up short. And then, of course, the following year, the rematch, the Panthers now being the favorite, even though they had home ice the first time. We had so much confidence going into that series and then just utter disappointment and embarrassment of getting swept by the Tampa Bay Lightning. And then finally, to now, I question internally if we'd ever get over that hump, over that hurdle. That's the Tampa Bay Lightning. Well, finally, on April 29th, 2024, the Florida Panthers clinically eliminated the Tampa Bay Lightning in 5 games. As I said, demons slayed. The little brother to me, the crap is over. But there's bigger goals ahead, gentlemen. Whoever wants to start here first, I know, Nick, you were at the rink. Cody, you've been alongside me on all of these post-game spaces. Just kind of share your emotions, feelings, and thoughts with me with the Panthers finally getting over and past the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Go with the guy in the building first.
Mr. Levine. You know, I said this on our post-game spaces after game two, and I remember always thinking to myself, because, you know, when your team's not in the playoffs, right, you're watching other teams, right? And you're seeing all these other teams go in these runs. And even if maybe it's not even runs, it's just them winning around. Like I saw Columbus win around. You see Nashville go on a run. You see Winnipeg go on a run a couple years ago. St. Louis go on that run. And you're seeing all these big moments, these big-time goals, right? The crowd's going nuts. And I kind of always wondered if the Panthers would ever have that. Like I said this on spaces, like, just want to be in attendance for a home playoff overtime goal. And we've gotten to see so many over the last 2 years. And, you know, just kind of everything I saw, like, you know, watching the playoffs over the years and now seeing my team kind of do that same thing that I kind of long for my team, it's been incredible. And then the crowd, obviously, as you said, Kirby, I was there, and the crowd has just gotten so much better each of the last couple of years, especially in the playoffs, right? Like, even after, like, there were times and criticisms about, you know, the Panthers crowd and like how the crowd would react, like, whenever we allowed a goal, right? Well, Sergei Bobrovsky makes a big save and he allows a goal, right? And the crowd doesn't stop, the crowd keeps going. And just a great testament to the progress the Panthers have made, and, you know, just so many great memories and moments, and unbelievable, just an unbelievable atmosphere. And it's improved so much. It feels like a genuine, real playoff crowd. It is the atmosphere and the experience I had at these games over the last, just not this year, but over the last year and a half has been unbelievable.
And Cody, I think we need Nick back in the tunnel as the players are coming out, because he was there for game five, dapping up all the players. So I think we need to get Nick down there for every game now.
Yeah.
So
you can make it work, Kirby. I'll be there.
Mr. John Acosta, paging Mr. John Acosta.
I mean, but when it comes to emotions with this this series right here, I mean, for years and years and years, I mean, I watched Tampa Bay get franchise player after franchise player, playoff run after playoff run. Like, I grew up, like, on the back half of, like, you know, like, Cavalier and St. Louis, right?
Yep.
And they started the rebuild, their rebuild, right around the same time we did. Right when they got, like, after the later years, after St. Louis, after the Cavalier
they
went
kind of
away.
Got gifted Stamkos there.
Yeah.
First overall.
But then they went and got Hedman.
Mm-hmm.
And then
who was slow to develop.
Yeah. And then, you know, Kucherov was I think a third round pick.
Something like that.
Point yeah. was a mid round pick too, and just like watching them develop these guys, and I was jealous of them for years. I mean, how can you not? We could barely develop our first round picks, and they were developing third and fourth and fifth round picks.
It's like, Cody, how can you hate them when it's not a rivalry, because we never match up to them? And when we do, we just get embarrassed in regular season games. And when you look at standings year after year, it's really hard to get a hate on for your cross-state rival when it's like you don't even cross paths when it matters, you know? Yeah. And that's not till recent years now.
And, you know, for those there were a couple of years there where, like, we would start off the year a back-to-back versus Tampa, like one in Tampa, one in Sunrise, and
mm-hmm.
like, those would be our Stanley Cup finals for the year, because we knew we weren't going to make the playoffs. But just to finally see the growth of the organization to, like, kind of reach that level is nothing short of, like, amazing. Because after 2021, it stung, but I wasn't, like, in despair, because I knew finally something's changing with the Panthers. 2022, different story. I couldn't watch a hockey game until like the cup final after that. I just couldn't
do it. I couldn't believe Cody told me that off air earlier today, because I had people in our community. That was the first year when we were starting up this post game spaces and community. And Cody was kind of with us a little bit at that point. And I didn't know Cody as well then, but I couldn't believe that Cody told me that. Cause Alex was messaging me after every game, when Tampa was playing the Rangers, and she's like, oh my goodness, Colorado's a machine right now. I think they are going to take this. And if they play Tampa, like, you know, I think Colorado has this. So it was other people drawing me back into it, Cody, because I was a little dejected after that too. And I needed a couple days, but it was everyone, again, within our community pulling me back to, you know, watching hockey, where sometimes, you know, I just want to crawl into a hole and not watch any more hockey for the rest of the spring. But it's surprising that you say that, because you watch a lot of hockey, Cody.
Yeah, it was just, that one was just the most embarrassing, deflating, because you thought you were going in the right direction. Turns out it was all mirage. And luckily, our GM saw what was happening, made the biggest move in recent memory, and now we're back on the right trajectory again.
Yep. Yeah. And guys, we last left off after game two. So after I give a couple numbers here, I kind of want you guys just to kind of analyze and break down games three, games four, games five. I was away for game four, so I got a different perception and read than you guys, watching it with a fresh pair of eyes after the fact, not live. So I really want you guys to break, but I did watch game four, but I want you guys to break that down. But I want to share some numbers here first. And Cody, you helping me host our preview spaces show, we broke down these regular season numbers, and I wanted to go back to them after this playoff series to see where they compared and contrasted. So again, regular season 5v5 numbers. The goal differential for the Panthers in the regular season was plus 35. Tampa Bay was minus 21. In the playoffs, Florida was plus 5 against the Lightning. The Lightning were minus 5. So that held true, guys. We said 5-on-5 was going to be key for the Panthers. The next one, power play, 23.5% during the regular season by the Panthers. We were, you know, top 5, top 8 all year there. The Lightning were first at 28.7. In the playoffs, The Panthers were 23%, 3 for 13. The Lightning, only 20%. We almost we shaved off over 8% off of their power play numbers. They were 4 for 20. They got 7 more chances than us on the power play. That was a big number. Penalty kill, we were 82.5 during the regular season. The Lightning, 83.1. In the playoffs, just a slight decrease for the Panthers here. This is one of the categories you'll see from the regular season number to their playoff numbers. 80%, just a couple percentages off. Tampa Bay's penalty kill, though, was only 77%. So another win for the Panthers. And finally, the last win for the Panthers, goals per game, 3.23 during the regular season. The Lightning were 3.48. They were above the Panthers. Well, in the playoffs, the Panthers were an even 4 goals per game. The Tampa Bay Lightning were 2.80. So not only did the Panthers get to Vasilevskiy in this series, win the special teams battle, but they also won the offensive battle. And we thought that would be the case, gentlemen, when it was 5-on-5. Nick, what do you have to break down with those numbers or things that you saw as the series went along?
Yeah, well, I first want to start off by saying that like a lot of those numbers really, and you could say this for a number of statistics, like whether it be Bob save percentage or whatever, kind of boosted by that game 4, right? All those other statistics, really, they kind of, you know, in those games, and I know obviously we have to count game 4, but if you don't count game 4, the Panthers were phenomenal. And, you know, you take a look at a guy like, for example, Nikita Kucherov, Kirby, 7 points in 5 games. Well, if you're a fan of another team, you're on the outside looking in on this series, like, oh, Kucherov still had 7 points in yep. 5 games. But the Panthers did a phenomenal job at shutting him down.
What grade do you guys give him? I give him a C minus at
like,
best.
And here's the thing. Like, when you take a look at some of those assists, like I think one of them was the Stamkos one at the end of game 1, right? When there's 8 seconds left and there's not really anything.
Garbage time,
basically, right? And that's the biggest story to me is what Nikita, and obviously Steven Stamkos was terrific. But the main point here, Kirby, was what the Panthers were fighting for in the final days was home ice advantage. And I have just their home statistics right here. They played 3 home games. They were 3-0, scored 12 goals, allowed 5. So that's an average of 4 goals per game and allowing 1.67 goals per game. The penalty kill was at 81.8%, power play at 18%, and shots per game, 34.7. Shots allowed per game were 24.7. And the one thing that we have struggled with throughout majority of the last contending window was faceoffs. The Panthers were 55%. So when you take a look,
that's better than our regular season numbers, Nick, at 51.3. And I think you mentioned shots on goal allowed. The Panthers were at 27.8, which was 3rd in the NHL during the regular season.
So we took advantage of home ice, right? Like this is like, the Panthers wanted that home ice. They got it. They took full advantage of it. And Kirby, if you remember last year in the playoffs, when we were going into this Carolina and Toronto series, I'm like, just keep the faceoffs at around 42 to 45%, right? Don't have it completely be lopsided or else, you know, like it loses momentum, right? 55%, Kirby. I mean, it's incredible. All facets of our game, like defending one goal leads, like that 3rd period in game 5, up until the Barkov goal, that was beautiful. Like,
clinical. They just let the clock run out.
Yeah. Like, there was I think that clock ran for 10 minutes up until until the Barkov goal happened.
Close to there. Yeah.
So, it was just, I can't say enough about what they did to shut down their top players in Kucherov and Point. But again, I think when you take a look at the other side, Vasilevskiy was still terrific. Victor Hedman, who some people said he was washed, he looked pretty good to me.
I have no idea why people even came up with that narrative.
He got so good as the series went along into games 3, games 4, games 5.
He was unbelievable. And then Steven Stamkos was the best player on the ice for Tampa. And, you know, then we obviously have Alexander Barkov kind of had his playoff coming out party a little bit last year against Carolina. But, you know, Alexander Barkov was a dominant. There were some games where he was okay, pretty good, but games 1 and game 5, Alexander Barkov was completely dominant. He came through when we needed him most. And congratulations on his first career Selly. Oh my gosh. Like,
Oh, I saw some of the comments on Instagram that did bother me. They're like, oh, he's sellied now. Now I have no problems with Barkov. I'm like, you should never have problems with Barkov to start with.
But,
but fans want that so bad out of him. The ones that, you know, that are Nick Levine.
He sellied on both goals. So, but, you know, Alexander Barkov was a point per game in this series. He shut down Nikita Kucherov. And shout out to Anton Lundell, who was just unbelievable. Four points in five games this series. And
we'll get into my X factors and our spotlight players, because Nick wasn't here for the last podcast, so he's going to grade me and Cody how we did. So that's what we're going to do here in our next segment a little bit later.
And there's a guy we're going to have to mention here,
okay,
that you guys even haven't mentioned, because he's not in our top five. Hell, he wasn't even honorable mention.
But before that, Cody, I want you to break down games 3, 4, and 5 as well, but go ahead with that.
I mean, we'll get more into him later, but we can't talk about the series without Carter Verhaeghe.
It's funny how we seem to not mention his name as we go through names. It's just like, Carter Verhaeghe, just doing Carter Verhaeghe.
And another thing, Tkachuk had 9 points in five games. I didn't think he was – I thought he was better last year. I mean, like –
but Matthew Tkachuk's always going to get recognition when he has points on the board. I think with us guys – we don't always mention that because they're like, okay, yeah, he was doing the little things. He collects points almost in his sleep.
Right.
But he's always going to get that recognition from the fan base. But like Cody just mentioned, let's talk Carter Verhaeghe. I know some fans obviously are, and he scores in that game 5 to get us going there, which was a huge goal. But when you start talking Barkov and Tkachuk, and then obviously Bobrovsky earlier in the series, you're going to forget names as you go along. And I think it's like, Carter Verhaeghe just finds a way just to slide in the back door there. Reinhardt had a very quiet series statistically. What if Reinhardt has a loud series in the second round? Verhaeghe's just going to sneak in the back door there again and come up with those clutch big-time moments.
Just like how he won game one. But game three, like I said, in the post-game spaces, that's where I expected Tampa's best. But it never really came to fruition. They got their first lead of the series in that game, but Florida just stayed with it and got the lead right back and never looked back.
Mm-hmm.
Just once again, another game of just their defense just could not handle our forecheck the entire series. They struggled with it mightily. They tried to combat it with the stretch passes from like their own goal line to their offensive zone blue line, which worked in some cases, but Florida did a pretty good job in limiting those passes. But game four, a lot of people were frustrated after
game four. I wasn't, Cody. I watched that game again on replay. The first 10 minutes or so till, I believe, was it the Kulikov penalty? I was really happy with the Panthers.
And here's the thing. In a game where a lot of people weren't happy with, that was a one-goal game midway through the third. That game was still within reach for the Panthers.
Yeah.
Now, do you guys pull Bob after 3 goals? I pull him after if he gives up the 4.
If it was 4-0, yes. That's when but I because we came, because we scored that other goal.
Yeah.
And then, like, again, I'm just saying, I think Sergei Bobrovsky and Nick gives us the best chance to win. And I don't view it as very close. I think you leave him in. Like, he's earned that, and I think he should.
I'm looking at a certain couple people. Anthony Stolarz will not start a game this postseason unless Sergei Bobrovsky is injured.
Why are we seeing tweets out there?
I have no
idea. Social media interaction on this.
There has not been one Stanley Cup team who has willingly, and I mean willingly, like they had a rotation. No Stanley Cup team, you can name me whatever, has willingly used more than one goalie. They stick with one. Like, you could say the Knights last year, but all their goalies got hurt.
Brossois got hurt, and then you remember it with Colorado, Franzos got hurt, or Kemper got hurt, and Franzos had to come in.
Yeah, but besides that, that has never happened.
Yeah.
It does not work. I can't stand it when teams do it, and I will never understand why they do it. But
there's another team that I hope is trying to figure that out right now.
One team that could play us in the next round. Yeah, do that. You guys do that.
Yeah, we'll get into them in a little bit here, but we got to still go through our breakdown and stuff. Yeah. I want you guys to continue talking about, you know, the final games here, but I'll just throw something out there. The John Cooper versus Paul Maurice matchup. How did that kind of...
I didn't think it was as prevalent as people thought it was going to be.
I agree.
Just because, well, I mean, like Maurice last year with the depth, Cooper's hands were pretty much tied with his depth, especially on the forward front. Like in years past, they definitely would have made some adjustments. I mean, like I said in the preview, they made a lot, and I mean a lot of defensive adjustments back then. They tried 11-7. They Perbix came out. They put in Crozier. They threw in Sergachev for game four when they.
I like the Sergachev move. I was shocked to see it on my phone when I was looking for updates while the game was going on, but I watched him fairly closely in game four, but especially in game five. I think it was a good move for them. I'm surprised that it kind of worked out as well as it did, but I don't think he was exposed out there on the ice, and they needed help, Cody, back there. You have been the first person in the Panthers community out there on Twitter to say this is not the same Tampa Bay team, and you mentioned it at first because of that defense. They've lost all the depth through the years with McDonough, Shen, and on down the
even
list.
A guy like David Savard, like, and they had last year, they had Ian Cole still, but like, again, you take a look at guys like Eric Chernak, right? Like,
Who's
Sergachev
fallen
goes
off a
down,
cliff?
right? If Sergachev
Well,
goes
he's being
down,
asked to do too much
yeah,
with
he's being
Sergachev.
asked to do too much. But he went from being number four behind Hedman, Sergachev, McDonough to having to jump in as the number two defenseman, pretty much. And when you take a look at, I agree with Cody that it wasn't too prevalent. I thought it would be more prevalent, the coaching matchup, but I'll give Tampa Bay credit for a couple things. Number one, you can't say they didn't work or compete, because they did. They did.
Well,
And there were
Stamkos
times
did.
in this series that, you know, for
I think
example,
there was individuals that pulled up those
like,
moments for their
well,
team
I'll
around
say
them.
this, like in game two,
Hagel, Essamont, Stamkos,
when
then
we,
later on Hedman. Obviously Vasilevskiy was there for most of the
by
series,
the
but it
way,
was individual. It was individuals. It
when
was
we went up
individuals.
in game two, in 2-0, Tampa Bay, they could have just packed it up and said, yeah, that's pretty much it. They didn't. I give them credit. They,
They're not going to do that. They weren't.
but,
They're
you
a
know, I give
professional
them
team,
credit.
but also
I give them credit for that.
they were also Mr. Second Period for most of that series. You know,
The
that's
reason
where
why
they showed up was
again,
just
I
being Mr.
just think, you know, personnel, the team with the better personnel came out on top of this series, and
For
that
60
was pretty
minutes.
much it. Yeah.
Yeah, you keep it
Like, you
five on
know,
five.
you take a look 5-on-5 and everything, right? And it's not so much about, oh, well, seven more power plays, right? Like, well, they didn't score on those power plays, but it disrupts the flow of a game, and it takes away time that we could be
I mean,
going, that
and
we
they
could
didn't
be.
have the confidence, guys, because they weren't building it off their power play.
Yeah,
Or there was big Vasi saves, but it wasn't one after another after another
the
after
biggest
another.
problem on their power play was the guy who was leading it throughout the entire season, the Art Ross winner, was horrible. And I saw some comments saying, oh, 7 points in five games isn't bad. Did you even watch this series?
Good point.
Like, there isn't a Lightning fan alive that can tell me, oh, Kucherov played good. You know he didn't. He was horrible. And
He
when
got
Coop
frustrated very early,
and
too.
when and when Cooper and I was waiting to see the injury list, and guess what? His name wasn't on it.
No, it wasn't.
So the Panthers just literally frustrated the guy who has killed them for years. And it just to a point, it
I want to
just.
give credit to the first pairing of Ekblad and Gustav Forsling, but also to that first line that was usually Barkov, Tarasenko, Reinhardt of shutting down Kucherov. And I'm going to give a shout out to my boy Money Monter. He shut down Braden Point. Every time Braden Point had a chance in the bumper in the slot, Brandon Montour was down there in the blue paint for everyone that doesn't think he plays defense, tying up Braden Point in front of the net so Bob could cover the puck or battle in front. Every situation, he was there on Braden Point pretty much. And a lot of these are either 5-on-5. Some of them are the power play when maybe Brandon Montour's on at the end of the penalty kill. But that first unit of Forsley and Ekblad, along with Barkov, shutting down Kucherov, and also had Stenlin in there on the penalty kill, guys, for Kucherov. But Montour mainly, and also Mikkola, but shutting down that point line when they had those two lines kind of separated and not stacked, and they did a good job on that. So that wasn't able, and then you just got Stamkos, getting off on a power play goal or maybe a chance here or there. But hey, if you could shut down Point and Kucherov, and then Stamkos is the third or fourth option, you got to live with that at this point if you're the Panthers.
And like during the spaces, we had someone say, Or do you guys think they should game plan for Stamkos? No. Like at this point with that team, you're gonna have to let somebody beat you. If my pick would be Steven Stamkos, to beat me, like it would be him, because I already know he's only gonna do it on the power play. 5-on-5, he had that one goal, but I mean, really nothing else besides him standing in that spot. But game four, that was the most desperate I've ever seen the Lightning.
Right.
And if we're being real here, Bob probably, that was Bob's worst game in the series too. Had a couple that I think he wishes he could have had back. But in the end, the Panthers gave me confidence, especially when they tried to come back in the second period. That showed me like they were still in it. They weren't going to just lie down and die. Let Tampa have this one. And went back home, handled business.
Yeah, gentlemen, before we kind of get into our next segment here, anything else to wrap there on what we kind of saw here over the last few games and the Panthers closing out in five?
I just want to say that the Panthers forward depth really was tested in this series, and big contentious, you know, debate, well, not debate, part of last year was the lack of depth overall, but especially up front. And you know, you had a guy like Kevin Stenlin come in on $1 million, and he's playing 13, 14, 15 minutes against the other team's top six. Key penalty kill, an unbelievable play to set up Rodriguez. This guy's got, he's got size, he's got some speed, he's got some skill, he has chemistry with some guys on there. And then obviously Steven Lorenz and Kyle Okposo, and obviously Nick Cousins. You know, there's just a bunch of guys, you know, the bottom six guys, you know, they were making an impact. And it wasn't every game, right? For game three, it was that fourth line. For game five, Stenlin and that. I know they switched it up with Tarasenko there, but Stenlin really showed up and Rodriguez got a goal, right? So it's the bottom six coming through with key contributions that, you know, it is going to be the biggest thing for me.
Yeah, good point. And I want to give a shout out to Dmitry Kulikov. I think he was arguably a top three defenseman for us in this series.
OEL
and that's crazy
too.
To say.
Gotta get my boy.
You've got OEL up there. I got him a little lower, but everyone has different rankings of how our defense played. We're gonna get into one name in particular, our number one guy, in the next segment. But just a shout out to those depth guys there, Cody, that Nick mentioned up front, and then like Kulikov on the back end with OEL too.
And I really gotta get this off my chest because I've seen it everywhere. And it's driving me up a wall.
Yep.
Tampa, you did not lose because the refs weren't on your side. You had seven more power plays, including a double minor. You got outplayed. You got outskilled. You got beat at your own game that you've been beating people at for years. You just cry me a river. You did not lose because of the refs. You lost because you guys are not the same team anymore.
Yeah, and it's going to be very hard for them to have another early exit this spring. Last year it was to Toronto. I think this one's going to sting even more for Tampa Bay Lightning fans because it's a result of losing to the Florida Panthers for the first time in the playoffs in their franchise history. Guys, before we start with our next segment here, I just want to let everyone know Panthers fever is here. Are you geared up? Caneswear and Davie is the place for all your Florida Panthers needs. They have the latest gear for our favorite NHL team. Jerseys, polos, t-shirts, hoodies, hats, and more. Caneswear has you covered. Stop by their store in Davie or at pantherswear.com. Again, that's pantherswear, W-E-A-R.com, for all your Panthers gear. And now we're going to kind of break down mine and Cody's predictions that we made prior to the series. Nick wasn't along with us for that episode, but he's going to kind of grade and mark us on how we did. And I'm going to add here, I did this last year on my former podcast, and I would say like this year's version, I might give myself the worst grade from the Boston series into the Toronto Carolina one. And
are you
really
passing on this one, do you think?
We don't really want to talk about the Vegas one. What do you mean? Am I passing on this one?
Are you giving yourself a passing grade?
I don't think I'm going to give myself a passing grade, Cody, but I'm happy because it worked out so well for the Panthers. So that's the thing. There is maybe one Panther on this list that I wouldn't give a passing grade to. I hit number one out of the park. Like, first of all, I had Matthew Tkachuk number one. guys, that should be like, give me a lot of points on that one.
I had three for five, all were hits.
Three for five. Okay, so I'll go through mine here. Matthew Tkachuk, one. Nikita Kucherov, two. Like, I had to give this dude respect coming into this series, Cody, because
now we don't have
He's up for the MVP. Now we don't have to. Braden, 0.3. We respect him, but kind of that high up. He didn't do enough on the power play. He didn't do enough to be a force out there. Steven Stamkos was better than Braden Point. So right away, I hit on number one, number two, and number three. I didn't. Cody, sorry to say, your boy. Aaron Ekblad, he was probably our worst defenseman in this series, but we didn't need him to be much more than the fifth, sixth defenseman.
He did what he needed to do.
He did what he needed to do, but I wanted this to be a spotlight series for him, and I put him right there on the mantle. I didn't put my boy Money Monter there. I didn't put Hedman like you did, Cody. I put Aaron Ekblad there. I didn't put Gustav Forsling there.
I'll argue. I don't think this was a series for defenseman spotlight. This did not end up being one of that series.
They kind of canceled each other out, but Brandon Monter had his moments, and Victor Hedman was probably the best defenseman on both sides of the ice.
By far.
Okay. So, again, like, I wasn't even close. And everyone has Gustav Forsling in different spots because of how he shut down Kucherov. But I also don't think he was, again, everyone says, Kirby, he's not going to be a difference maker and different things like that. But come playoff time, you have to be that. I think he was on Kucherov, but I don't think I would put him in the top five. The only defenseman that would maybe make the top five would be Victor Hedman. And number five, Andrei Vasilevskiy. I think I'm all right there, but Bob was better than him. So again, process of elimination. I probably should have had Bobrovsky there, but I thought, Cody, if this series was going to go seven, like you said, along with me, there was going to be one or two Vasilevskiy games. I think it was in game two, but Bob stole his thunder. And they end up winning the game there, I believe, what was it, in overtime? So, again, I give myself, I don't know, like a 1 out of 5. This is the worst I've done. C minus, maybe. C grade at best.
And here's where I come in. One, two are both. I had Vasi 1, Kucherov 2.
Yeah, we had to put Kucherov, like most people.
We had to show respect somewhere. Yeah.
Unless we're going to be a biased podcast, which we're not. Which when we go on our post-game spaces, Nick, we're not like that. We are very balanced. We try to be the best that we can, and it's still not enough for our fan base. But again, if you guys are doing this list, I think you have Kucherov somewhere on there. So again,
100 assists and 44 goals in the season. You're not going to have him in the top five list.
And all the numbers that Tampa Bay has put on us in the playoffs.
Absolutely
in the past.
Insane. Like, and for you, listener, you would too, if you did this top five before the series started, you would have both Andrei Vasilevskiy and Nikita Kucherov in there. So I don't have any fat here. But 3 through 5, out of the ballpark. Matthew Tkachuk was my 3. I think that's the perfect spot for him, honestly.
Almost too low. I'd say 1 or 2.
I think 3, because, like, I think
again, you could count every player on the ice, right? But like
that's
spotlight what I'm players, we're counting guys coming into the series. If again, what was his name? Martinook on Carolina last year went off in New Jersey series. Who would have maybe had that unless you're a Martinook fan? So we're ranking kind of the better players, or maybe putting our neck out there on the line for maybe like 1 or 2 of these selections.
10 points in 5 games. That will never happen again.
Martinook, you mean, right? Yeah. So yeah, Tkachuk, that's fine. 2, 3.
I had Barkov 4.
Yeah, you did have him in there. I had in my honorable mention Barkov and Verhaeghe, and I'm kicking myself now. But again, I thought this series was gonna go long, Cody.
I had Barkov 4, which I think is the perfect spot for him.
Yeah.
Because he showed up games 1 and 5, middle
quiet in a couple other games.
But he was good defensively. So and 5, I had Victor Hedman, which is pretty low. But considering the whole series, I think a 4 or 5 spot would have been perfect for him.
And that's the one guy that I wanted to take from your list. I had Ekblad on there, who's your boy. And then when you put Hedman on there, I was like, yeah.
I didn't think this would be a huge offensive series for Florida. For the defenseman side anyway. That's just never been the case when we play Tampa. It's never really been. It's just been like, I don't know. It's been kind of like a little bit of a wash, but they're like always their defense was doing the little things more than our defense was. But now it's different.
So I'm giving myself pretty much a 1 out of 5. If I don't give myself a point on Vasilevskiy at 5, which I could, but say just to be fair, like a 1 out of 5. And you're giving yourself 3 there, Cody?
two or three. If you want to say Kachuk's too low, then it's 2 out of 5. But then again,
And Barkov and Hedman, the other ones.
I think, yeah, though, if you ask me, I think it's 3 out of 5.
Yeah. Cody, I think you got me there. Me and Cody had Florida in 7. A guy in Nick that doesn't make predictions. Nick, what did you have going into this series? Florida, Tampa, and what would your list have looked like?
Well, as far as who I thought was going to win the series, I thought, you know, personally, Florida would win it just because the better, again, better
did
depth,
you have a
better
number?
Personnel.
Did you have a number?
I didn't really have a number because
it
was
never
very
has
hard.
A number.
He has to.
It was very hard for me to gauge how this series was going.
Well, you
to
think
go,
it was
right?
easy for me or Cody to
No,
gauge?
I had no clue. My X factor, obviously, it's a little different in hindsight,
okay.
But
okay, not X factor yet. Those top five, like, would you have had a combination of those guys? Was there a guy
one,
in there
I
that you
think
would have?
I had told you this when we were talking, maybe even a week back, Kirby. I said this might have to be an Alexander Barkov series, so I definitely would have had him on there, and he had two dominant games, right?
Because me and Cody were not on that at all, that it was going to be an Alexander Barkov
he had
series.
Two dominant games, and those were huge. None of you had the best player in the series.
Carter Verhaeghe.
Carter Verhaeghe.
Or
didn't have him in the top five.
Or
Sergei Bobrovsky, which really did surprise me because I thought, you know, coming into
I
this.
I thought the power plays would kind of bring his
I'll say this.
And his numbers aren't like sparkling. If
I for me, I would have definitely had Kucherov and Vasilevsky. Absolutely. Because when we talked about what was our concerns heading into the series, we said
those were the two
Vasilevsky
guys
stealing this series and the power play, which would entail Nikita Kucherov.
But none of you would have had Stamkos. I didn't have
no.
him.
No.
I don't think I would have had Stamkos. I might
he
not
could
have
be
even
on
had...
this list. He could be on this top five.
I'm going to be honest. I might not have even had Hedman, to be completely fair.
Oh, as a defense guy, I couldn't leave off him.
I don't think I would have put in
it was
Victor
too many
Hedman.
Guys. It was too
I
many
think,
guys to have Hedman.
I think for me,
especially Stamkos.
I would have done probably Vazzy and Bob, then Kucherov and Kachuk, and then Barkov probably would have been 5 there.
Wow. Would he have had this list? 2 goalies in this
series?
No,
he wouldn't have. He wouldn't have.
Absolutely, yeah.
He's giving himself a real good pass.
Your going too crazy, but we can all admit here, the correct list, Carter Verhaeghe at 1.
Okay.
Sergei Bobrovsky at 2. Damn, we're going to have a lot of Panthers here.
I'm going to be honest with you. I think
Kachuk's got to be up there.
I think Nico Mikkola had a hell of a series. I know Kirby thinks Montour was the best defenseman. I think it was Mikkola. For me, he's definitely got to be a top 5 guy this series.
That's very bold. We're going to get into X factors here in a
second. I don't
second.
Even think he makes
the
top
five.
7.
No, for the Panthers, not on both sides. For Panthers,
I'm combining both sides.
Oh, not – no, for me, he's a top 5 Panther, Mikkola. I wouldn't – say both
yeah,
sides.
That's
I
what
think
I'm saying. Not both
Vasilevsky
sides.
Had been in Stamkos.
We can argue this. Like top 5 Panthers. So we have what? Verhaeghe, Bob, Kachuk, Barkov, and then you would have Mikkola 5.
Who are we missing? So wait, Verhaeghe, Kachuk.
Verhaeghe 1, Bob 2, Kachuk 3, Barkov 4. I put Reinhardt before I put Mikkola.
I put Montour before
Montour.
Mikkola. Montour's leading the team in ice time, and we had a better power play. You guys said the power play's not good with Montour out there.
Yeah, but the power play was good,
but
it wasn't because of Montour. Montour struggled on the power play.
For me, I think for me it would have been Mikkola 5 and then Montour 6. You could swap them, and it wouldn't make a difference to me. I just really like
Mikkola. If you ask me, Montour was best 5-on-5 this series. I don't think power play was at his best. He was... There were points he
we
was
don't always go by the charts, but there was 2 games he was number 1 back to back.
I know, but
number
there was,
1.
But there were points where he was bobbling the puck, losing it out the zone. But
what about all his defensive plays that I talked about with
Brandon?
I want to defend Brandon Montour real quick.
Overall play.
Brandon Point came in 1-on-1 with speed, and Brandon Montour defended him beautifully. I think it was in game 1, and. It was just
a couple bad penalties by Montour. That's the only thing he did bad in the series.
A lot of people like to, you know, talk about Montour, how he can't keep the puck in, but yet when he does keep the puck in and
he
jumps in
the
air.
In.
Well, I mean, when he jumps in the air, I think in game one to keep the puck, and nobody says a word about that. And
who was the defenseman on our team that initiated all the rushes when the games were tight? There was no scoring going on.
Wasn't he the one? He had a crossbar.
He had Vasilevskiy made three huge blocks.
Wasn't he the one driving the net on the Rodriguez goal? Took away that guy.
Yes.
He didn't drive the net. He came.
He initiated into the rush.
He initiated, but then dropped back.
And that's a smart play defensively to do that, Cody. I mean, he wouldn't have done that last year.
I mean, yeah, because new time and place.
Yep.
But, like, to a point, I need him better on the power play.
Yeah, but like, you're asking a lot out of, again,
how am I
I'm
going to
be honest.
A lot. He's the power play quarterback. That's not asking a lot.
I'm going to be completely honest. I don't think he was terrible. He wasn't great on the power play, but,
okay.
You know, I think.
I'll agree with you guys.
I think that, you know, we're trying to, like, there was a couple times where that bumper pass was there and they didn't connect on it. So let's.
Again, Reinhardt had a quiet series.
Blame goes all around when we're losing the draw. So many power play draws, offensive zone draws.
And everyone that wants to start our second power play unit, giving up goals the other way shorthanded. Again, listen, having Brandon Montour out there and Barkov, it matters because they are helping defensively.
I will say this, though. If Reinhardt had a quiet series, I'll take three goals if that's quiet for him.
I think it was very quiet.
My grade for you guys, do you want me to grade him based off how it panned out or how I think?
I mean, how it panned out, obviously.
Well, I mean, how it panned out. I mean, like,
well,
I think he got
well,
let, that.
Well, let's say the X factors. My X factor was Aaron Ekblad. Kirby's was Anton Lindell. He had me beat there.
Yep. And I also said, I added a little caveat that the first pairing had to be impactful. Maybe a plus there too with Forsling's defensive work on Kucherov, but I did say Lundell was my number one.
Well, Lundell had a heck of a series, and you know he got a lot of heat, you know, from our fan base. You know,
maybe not as good as the Toronto series, gentlemen.
No,
but I think he was up there.
Again, you take a look like the cycle game and like him below the hash marks, even when before Bennett got hurt when he was a low Starine, and Lundell was grinding below the goal line, right? Like he's. And I don't think we can understate that Lundell.
And he didn't
line.
Make mistakes. He didn't make
and
mistakes,
was,
which was
he
big
was
in
matched
the
up with Braden Point for the whole third period in game five.
And
I don't think we can understand. I don't think we can understate that, right? Now, obviously, Reinhardt and Lostarinen with him, right? And I thought, again, Reinhardt had a quiet series, but defensively, especially in that game five, he was.
Yes, that was Reinhardt's best game. Game one and game five. The other games, I thought Reinhardt. Barkov
non-existent. Too. I think that was Barkov's best.
Barkov a little bit more, and Tarasenko was good early, and then he kind of faded. But again, he's kind of the third guy on that first line, so I'm not going to grade him like I would grade Reinhardt and Barkov.
But Tarasenko continues to do all the little things right. He got physical when he needed to. He back checked when he needed to.
Yeah,
that's all we need from him.
And there was a leading to the Rodriguez goal. That's Tarasenko on the half wall taking the hit. To make the play, and it allowed Stenlin to pick up the puck.
And speaking of Rodriguez, everyone told me in DMs, all my mentions, Erod Kirby, isn't he very underwhelming? I was like, maybe he was our most underwhelming forward, but that's saying a lot for all the guys that bring it during the whole series. And Erod's best play was at the end of the series in game four, and especially in game five, and he was rewarded with that goal. So if he was our most underwhelming forward of the 12, 13 options that we had, including Oposo, who played quite well too, that says something.
Shout out Steven Lorenz, game three.
Yeah, Lorenz.
Shout
awesome.
Out Nick Cousins.
Was good early. People didn't like him late, Nick, but I thought Nick Cousins was good
the
early.
The fourth line did what they needed to do. Because game three was the fourth line game because, you know, Tyler Mott had that goal to make it 2-1 for Tampa, and then our fourth line responds, you know, creating the Montour goal, like that was all work by Cousins, Lorenz, and Okposo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how long were they in the zone before that goal happened? Like half a minute, 35
seconds? They were heading in there for quite a bit.
Yeah, like, so, again, that's something we didn't really, like, I don't think we got a shift anywhere close to that from our fourth line last year in the playoffs.
That's how we're going
to
score with a Montour bomb, with an Ek blast, with Forsling being sneaky, getting in the slot area, and maybe unleashing a sneaky, deceptive wrist shot, or OEL as well, sneaking shots through layers OEL's done this. That's how we're going to get production from the back end. Mikkola, he's just going to go coast to coast sometimes and try to get a goal that way. But that's how we're going to get goals from our defense.
He'll always terrify me when he does it.
Well, yeah, and he cleaned it up, though. He really
oh,
did.
Oh, no, he has, but it still terrifies me.
But I think that's how we beat Boston early, guys.
I don't care.
If our bottom six grinds them out and we throw it back to the point and we get some of those key goals from our defensemen.
And speaking of the defensemen, Kirby, I thought we did a really good job of getting traffic to the net. Like, that seemed – we were having a tough time getting to those areas.
Yep.
Remember last year against Vegas and 2 years ago against Tampa Bay, right? Like, Vasilevsky saw every shot, right?
But again, Tampa Bay's defense isn't what it used to be, Nick.
Exactly.
So we did a good job. I think we need to take it to another level against Boston. It ain't going to be easy.
I agree, but it's definitely – Panthers are improving in certain areas. And again, the forecheck, the net front battles, I think we did an excellent job of that both on both sides of the ice this series.
So, yeah, just in closing on that, guys, before we go into our final segment here talking the Toronto Maple Leafs and Boston Bruins a bit, Cody gets the W there. You could give him – pretty much a passing grade, 2.5, 3 out of 5. I give myself like a 1 out of 5, if I'm being generous, a 2. So Cody there, I do get the X factor, I guess, over Cody. Yours was Ekblad?
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, pretty close, but yeah, edge to Cody,
We're
going
to have to come back a little bit stronger next series.
I probably would have said Sam Bennett. That would have definitely
Now, gentlemen,
failed.
If this is Toronto, I've got some names I'm cooking up, but if it's Boston... Oh, I got about 3-4 Panthers from last year that did some work on Boston that will probably appear on my list.
I mean, when you're talking about these two teams, and I mean, and for those of you at home who have not watched a game of this series, please do. Because if this series goes to game 7, that would probably be the most tense game 7, I think, in the last couple of years. Because demons resurfacing for both teams. Can Toronto finally get over the hump? And can Boston get over the 3-1 series lead in game 7, home game 7, like they did last year?
Now, by the time everyone listens to this recording, guys, this series could be over in 6. I'm going to say the pressure is on the Leafs at home in game 6.
Yeah.
But if they could somehow find a way to win that game, then all the pressure swings back on Boston and all the memories of last year against Florida are there. And I know I talked with Nick earlier today off of the air about Jim Montgomery, just, I don't know, not making the right messages. I think both coaches have not been great with the media and some of the things that they said. Jim Montgomery at first was kind of playing with the media there. Remember, like, oh, we got an extra day or two in Toronto. I don't really like this schedule. And they actually took care of business against Toronto. But Toronto is going to, if they're going to survive, guys, and win game 6, I think they've lost their last 7 home games in the playoffs. I think
is correct.
I think their last home game wins when they blew out Tampa.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's crazy. In the last two, like you said, Kirby, in the last 2 years, they're 1-7. And then on the road, which is weird, even against Florida, they got a road win. They split on the road. They're 6-2. So they played 16 playoff games the last 2 years, 1-7 on home ice, 6-2 on the road. And when you really take a look at this series, it is the story of this series is the special teams, right? Looking at the statistics, both teams have 8 goals at even strength, right? So that's not really an issue. What is an issue is the special teams. Like I just said, Boston's power play is converting at 43%, and their penalty kill is at 94.1%, Boston, which obviously would entail Toronto has
Toronto's
a 6.
Power play hasn't been, sorry, Nick, to interrupt. Toronto's power play hasn't been that bad since the Matthews Marner era, I believe. Like
it has, and it's at 5.9%, which is the second worst in the playoffs, only behind or only better than the LA Kings.
I would say, like, how could you lose a series with a close to 50% power play, but they did it last year.
Yeah,
so.
And the penalty kill 57.1%, and you know, I take like last night's game is very like weird for me because every time like the Leafs seem to have it figured out, right? Like even in games, I'm like, okay, they got it figured out, they settled it down, and then they don't, which is weird. And I take a look at guys like, first of all, Max Domi had a heck of a game last night. I think he only lost like one or two
in game 5.
Offs.
We're talking about
game
there.
5 in game 5. My apologies. And another guy that really showed up in game 5 was Mitch Marner. I know he's getting a lot of heat, Kirby, and I know
we had a special segment on that.
You have a ton to say on him. But
took the entire Leafs organization and fan base, to be on his ass.
I don't have enough time left in this podcast to talk about
it. I don't seem to like that level of desperation. The level of desperation the Leafs displayed in Game 5 and just the pure...
But where is it in Game 4? That's my point question. With the Toronto core.
That's my question.
Let's give them their flowers because they showed up in Game 5. I knew they were going to show up in Game 5. I told Leafs Nation that they were, and they're probably going to come back home in Game 6 and lose. That was my prediction. I have Boston in 6. Yeah. But where is that in Game 4?
And the Leafs
media is still asking, where was that in Game 4?
Here's my other thing. I think Joseph Woll, number one, played a fantastic game.
That was
Toronto.
The big change. They should have made
that was the big change.
Me and Cody said that's how they could beat us in a first round matchup. Like, Woll and Matthews going off.
There's
they didn't
that
even start Woll.
There's that Trent Frederick save in the third period that kept Toronto in it. And then there's the Charlie Coyle stop in overtime. And then I think like a minute and a half, 2 minutes later, Matthew Nye scores to send it to Game 6. As far as goaltending for Boston goes, I don't know why they would take their best player out of the lineup for this series. I know Marchand's been terrific, right? But last night, in Game 5, Jeremy Swayman was the best player on both sides.
And that's
spectacular.
He's their present and their future. And they try to probably reportedly move on from Ullmark at the trade deadline to LA or whatever other team.
And
I
think if you put Ullmark in for Game 6, I think that would be a big mistake. I think it's Jeremy Swayman's net. I think he deserves to be the starter. He has given them, it has been unbelievable what he's done for them.
And,
he's
and why would you go
back?
The
best goalie in the playoffs.
Nick, why would you go back to do the goalie carousel when they did it last year in Florida in Game 6 and then in Game 7? Why would they go back to do that?
I know people like to talk about, oh, they should have went to Swayman. Ullmark was hurt. So that seemed to be the issue there.
Last year.
Jeremy Swayman's, yes, last season. Jeremy Swayman's healthy. So if Jeremy Swayman, what did he stop, like 33 out of 35 in Game 5?
Something like that.
He's the only reason you were in the game. And as far as how the Boston Bruins played, said this to you, Kirby, I'm like, I saw a lot of the same mistakes in Game 5 that I saw in last year's playoffs against Florida for Boston. They couldn't complete a 5-foot pass from large portions of the game, really. They seemed very tense. They were very susceptible to the forecheck. They're turning pucks over in the defensive zone, right? And obviously, there's so many similarities that people are pointing to. Yeah. Game 5 overtime goal, 3-1. Both the first names were Matthews. They're both from Arizona. I get it, right? But
are you kidding me? Like, that is the parallels we're drawing
that's
here?
That's the parallels that I've seen on Twitter.
How far have we fallen as a damn society? Oh, my Lord.
But really, the biggest thing for me is I don't see, like, I think it was, I forget who was commentating last night, but they said when they interviewed Jim Montgomery, he's like, we learned from that last year, right? And we're going to find out in Game 6 if they truly learned. In Game 5, it didn't look like they learned a damn thing. Because it was the same exact thing.
Whatever coach ends up losing this series is arguably going to be on the hot seat.
Yeah.
If
Boston loses this series, I think Jim Montgomery should be gone because, you know,
inexcusable, and especially if it's
ever happened in NHL history, a coach and a team back-to-back years losing,
and he probably he's like historic for his first two seasons with the team, right? Like I think he's like the highest points percentage or something like that.
But in today's NHL and today's culture,
that doesn't
culture,
matter
doesn't if matter really
if yeah, it's two first round exits in the same fashion, there's no excuse
some big time colleges might let a coach go.
Listen, Michigan will fire a coach if they lose to Ohio State 4 years in a row.
So that would equate to like
that would happen.
No.
But the thing is with the Toronto Boston series, would y'all have believed me if I told you the most impactful guy in this series has been not Pastrnak, not McAvoy, not Matthews, not Mara, not Nylander, Jake DeBrusk.
Oh, I love Jake DeBrusk. I thought you were going to say Brad Marchand. They're making Brad Marchand look like half Wayne Gretzky, half Mark Messier out there.
And then so the referee tackled us behind.
Jake DeBrusk is up there. But if someone wants to say Brad Marchand, that's why I'm not scared of Boston, guys. I don't see Brad Marchand being a number one spotlight player in a series against us. I'll lose my ever loving mind. I'll come on Spaces. I'll come on the podcast. Say I was dead wrong. I can't believe this. And I think we'll be pretty frustrated with
and
our team.
You know,
and
who
the results of Brad Marchand as the number one player in the series.
You know who's also had a really good series? And I mentioned this a couple episodes ago when we did the playoff preview with Ryburn and was it Matty Kirby?
Matty.
Yeah. And I talked about a couple different depth players that were kind of coming up and really, you know, making a name for themselves. I think Morgan Geeky and Trent Frederick have a really good series. And I thought
Morgan Geeky was going to work for them at the beginning of the year when they brought him in.
And that's a guy me and one of our Spaces co-hosts Vince were talking about in the offseason. Some of those Seattle guys that.
Yep. I like the Seattle guys too. I like the Seattle guys on the back end a bit.
Yeah,
but you guys mentioned the guys up front.
But like Morgan Geeky and Trent Frederick have had really good series. And I think another point, and Kirby, you mentioned this, he seems to be healthy this year, is Hampus Lindholm. I think he's really had a much better playoff.
He's been healthy, but he's been worse.
But I think he's had a pretty good playoff.
I don't know. Some of the defense, some people might not think Carlos playing well. Then other times, I think he is playing well.
Like,
it's hard to kind of judge. Charlie McAvoy is their best guy, but it's not like he's been standing out.
Yeah,
he's clutched them in games at the end of the game.
Yeah,
the other
McAvoy is turning into a pest and ending up in the box.
There's some other guys.
And on the ice on key goals against.
Too. And there's some other guys that I don't really know that well. I didn't really know coming into this season. Like Brazo and Wotherspoon on the back end, who...
Andrew Peak was kind of good for them till he got injured there. He added some toughness for them and kind of like that stuff they're going to need against us.
Again, I think Boston has played well. I just think they had a poor game five. They really did.
Game two, they were all right, but the Leafs took over in winning time, which the Leafs don't usually do that.
Right.
But that's when they took over with Matthews being, a star.
But the one thing I will give Leafs credit for is obviously Marchand, he's been spectacular. Pastrnak's not even at a point per game in this series.
Now I'm worried about that because he does hurt us. I'm not going to talk much about him.
Like this guy,
Pastrnak.
It's well documented. Pastrnak.
Pastrnak.
We're not going to get into this debate.
God, you Canadian person, just say it once.
But shout out to one of our community members, Jack, who lives in Boston. That's going to be pretty lively if he's going to
Pastrnak. Like,
and Kirby, we talked about the Maple Leafs defense has been well documented. You like Ilya Lyubushkin. I haven't loved him this series. I think Joel Edmondson, he's shown some nice lashes.
He's been bad.
Think he has it figured out, and then it's just falls apart, right? And then Simone Benoit, who is a guy that a lot of Maple Leafs fans like, he really has kind of been a little underwhelming for me.
Puck over glass.
He's good as a bottom pair.
Which was unlucky. Minutes. But I think he's being exposed out there. McCabe was being exposed early in the series. Then he started making better plays.
Decision to bench Liljegren for TJ Brody, was it, in game four?
I've heard stuff about this guy. He'll go into the corner, and this is from Leafs media. He'll take the same route that Cody would just be shaking his head as a former defenseman. And the other team just goes balls to the wall, forechecks the heck out of him and runs him right through the boards. Hey. It's like he's so soft. He doesn't read where contact is, time and spaces. That's why he's out of the lineup. And Brody does the same thing.
that might be the I think it was Liljegren. Forgive me if I'm wrong. Remember that goal in game two of the Toronto series last year, the Reinhardt behind the back play?
It was him.
It
was him and Brody, I think. Brody was out there too.
Brody was out there.
So Lostarinen comes in on the forecheck. Liljegren, he gets a piece of Liljegren. Remember that famous clip of Maurice saying, get a piece in the quest for the cup?
Yeah.
And it just plays like that. It's compete, right? And it was a Jay Rose Hill Kirby that, or Dan, I don't even, the it, one we played
so,
on Space.
There's so many of them. They all have the same name.
Yeah, and they were tearing into Mitch Marner and some other guys too about just a compete level, right? Because it doesn't make sense how the Leafs can come out in game five and do that. That was a unbelievable.
They should be the more skilled team on paper. This is not the Boston Bruins of last year, the President's Trophy winners. They lost Taylor Hall and
Tyler Bertuzzi,
who's now on Toronto.
Orlov. Bergeron, Krejci. And I want this on the record here. I got flack in our coach chat, namely from Kirby and Lex, that I said Lyubushkin sucks. And now he sucks now. And I want it on record.
No, 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 no. I'm not going that far. I'm not going that far.
He Look sucks, at... Kirby.
Nope, nope. You just said, you guys said earlier about Benoit, give it pushing him too far up.
Well, I also think
Lyubushkin's been, but Benoit's been playing somewhat good
in
this
too
year.
Much of a role.
Like, look at that. Lyubushkin hasn't given up a goal 5-on-5. Isn't that the stat, Cody?
Yeah, but the penalty
kill. Oh, my God.
The penalty kill now. We can't get on Gustav Forsling and Ekblad being on the ice for penalty goals allowed.
I'm not saying that.
I'm not saying that. Either.
We got to bring that same energy.
But Lyubushkin sucks.
I wanted him at the deadline. And another guy I wanted, Cody, and we don't have much time here.
Guess
but
what?
Nikita
Healthy
Zadorov.
Bond.
Nikita Zadorov.
Every time
I turn the TV on, that guy's putting a goal in the back of the net. No. If we had him on this defense, how would we be right
Tanev.
Now?
Kirby, he was traded Tanev? In November. Yes. He
I don't care. I wanted him then. I wanted him then.
What about the forward that you wanted? He got healthy bombed.
Guys, let's save this for next year's trade
He's
deadline,
talking
all right?
about a Vegas player.
Let's save this for next year's trade deadline, okay? Come on.
What next year's trade deadline? We don't even know who the hell's going to be available.
Don't worry about it.
We're showing some fire on here on the podcast like we do after our post-game spaces. So you guys better make sure to join us every game after on Twitter X Spaces. Get on your PC as a listener. Get on your phone if you'd like to be a speaker. We had like full house there the other night, guys. I think we had like 40, 50 plus people in the chat there after the series win. Thank you to everyone on the replay too. We have over 700 playbacks.
That's absolutely close. Insane.
It's crazy. Last year we were up to, I think in the finals, they're around 1K. So again, for our preview show, and we're going to pump that out all week long here as we're waiting to see who our opponent is. So we'll keep sharing that if you haven't listened to it. And I also shared on our Instagram page, Cats and Rats Podcast. So make sure that you follow us there on Instagram. And guys, again, I want everyone to give us 5 stars if you can on Spotify and Apple. Shout out to Canadian Ryan for writing a great review for us.
Appreciate it, Ryan.
Giving us a 5-star review. Ryan's our whiz when it comes to hype videos and different things that we need to have
if
done.
If there's a guy rooting for the Leafs right now, I think he'd be it.
Just with all his buddies and friends. And we probably have more Toronto-connected people within our community. But if it is Boston, we will try to get someone for our preview show. I know we've had Maddie here on the podcast and stuff like that. But yeah, if you guys ever have suggestions for us of who you'd like on for our preview show, be it on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, we could try to make contact with those people and get them on for a preview show. So again, I think we did a good job last time covering Tampa Bay without any Tampa Bay personnel as we were kind of preparing for Toronto there. But as we wrap here, gentlemen, on this momentous podcast episode, as the Panthers finally beat the Tampa Bay Lightning, anything you want to say on the way out here?
The cup run starts now.
Yeah, let's just, I don't want to wait too long, so let's hurry this up. Let's go finish this series up already.
Right. And the second round, I know a lot of us are going to feel very confident going into this round, you know, especially if you've been watching the Boston Toronto series. But nothing will be given out there. Panthers are going to have to earn it out there on the ice. And, you know, it's a little hard right now to not try to look ahead to like, oh, what's going on in that Carolina Rangers series, which is confirmed now for the other second round matchup. And maybe a potential matchup with the Panthers in the Eastern Conference Final. But I want to thank my co-hosts here tonight, Nick and Cody. And as we always say, on the way out, let's go Cats.